All right, we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we're finishing the way of living in the divine will, how Jesus taught Luisa how to do this. This is Luisa's gift, and what our God is asking of us is that we begin to hear what he said to Luisa. And as you see in the image right in the front, Luisa's focusing on the writings. Jesus dictated these to her, but Luisa had to study this. And Jesus says, a couple times, Jesus didn't appear to Luisa, and she says, Jesus, why aren't you appearing? He says, you didn't put into practice what I taught you. And that's what she's doing here. She did this for 64 years. She stayed in bed, not eating, drinking, or sleeping. She was reading and focusing on this great gift of the divine will. And now it's our turn if we want this gift. If we want this gift, Jesus just asks us basically to dispose ourselves to listen by reading. Listen to Jesus speak to Luisa so that we can possess this gift. It's the most powerful gift. It is the gift of gifts, Jesus says. He says, out of all the things that he's given to the world, this gift is the gift of gifts because it brings us back to where Adam was before the fall. Now, no one possesses this as yet. Luisa possesses it. Because she read, she studied, she put into practice the way and how this is going to be done. So if you haven't listened to part one basically teaches you up to the, you know, page 28, or excuse me, chapter 28 or book 28, how to begin to live in the divine will. It's essential that we learn, to do this. Okay. So today we begin volume 28. 11, 20, 19, 30. Repeated acts form the water with which to water it. Okay. Repeated acts. When you wake up in the morning, you do your prevenient act and then your actual acts. This is what God is waiting for. This is what Adam did. This is how Jesus lived. This is how Mary, our Blessed Mother, lived. This is what they taught Luisa. Luisa is the firstborn. Luisa is the newborn in the divine will. The saints were taught how to do the will of God. But to live in the will of God, Jesus says, Luis is the one who possesses this. Now, if we want to possess it, we have to go really focus on these 36 volumes. It has to become our life. So he says, repeated acts. So every time you wake up in the morning, you do your prevenient act, your actual acts throughout the day. You're saying to Jesus, in the name of everyone and everything, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. See, Jesus wants to reign in us. Jesus wants to begin to live this abundant life in us. And so what he's asking of us is that we learn how Luisa did this. So repeated acts, every heartbeat, every thought, every word, every deed. See, the three powers that God gave us, our intellect, memory, and will, we have to begin to see things from a divine perspective, from Christ's perspective. We can't just look at things from a human perspective. We see this in the Protestant denominations. There's 40,000 Protestant denominations. Why? Because everybody's saying, no, this is how you do it. No, this is how you do it. And what's happening is they don't have that fullness that Christ breathed into his church because they've broken away saying, no, this is how you're supposed to do it. Our job is to begin to think with the mind of Christ. That's why we have our dogma and our doctrine. To begin, like, again, the greatest dogma that was given to us in our time was Humani Vitae. What is human life? And because mankind rebelled against what human life is, we're in the situation that we are in today. Our Lord is asking us to begin to think with the mind of Christ. That's number one. Number two, to have the memory of Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. That's why we pray the Holy Rosary. Every day we enter into the mysteries. We look at Jesus with the eyes of Mary. We love Jesus with the heart of Mary. That's what the Rosary does. Our Lady loved Jesus more than any human, being Mother of God, Theotokos, the Mother of God. I mean, what a title. And now Jesus is saying, now that you have trying to think with the mind of Christ, with the church, teachers of the church, to have memory of Jesus, basically through the Blessed Mother. That's why if you haven't read the Prodigies of the Blessed Mother, if you love Our Lady, read what Jesus told Louisa. He says all the saints told us who Our Lady was from their perspective, what they have learned. Jesus says, as the Son of God, as the Son of Mary, he is the only one that can explain in detail who his mother is and how beautiful she is and how perfect, how loving she is, and why God gave her to us as our mother, our queen. And if you love Our Lady, read the Prodigies of Our Lady. You will not believe how magnificent Our Lady is, the Theotokos, the Mother of God. And then finally, the human will. You surrender to God. And you surrender, Jesus says, to be disposed to God is so important, so that you use your free will to choose. Do I want to live in my human will? What's your human will? It's very simple. Your human will is what you say when you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry. I don't want to live like this. I want to, with a firm purpose of amendment, to avoid the near occasions of sin. Jesus says, I want you to enter into my divine will, my most holy divine will that I originally gave to Adam, which Adam lost. Now, since Adam lost this gift because of original sin, now what's happened? We're a fallen nature. So Jesus says, when he says to the apostles, you have to be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect, the saints have said, we're going to try. But who could be perfect? Only God is perfect. This is what this gift of the divine will does. It leads us to live in our nothingness. It leads us to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. It leads us to live without worry, without fear, without anxiety, without complaints, without negativity, without sin. And people say, well, how do you do this? Well, read. Jesus is going to teach you how to live this life. So he says this. He says, to the repeated acts that you do throughout the day in the divine will, Jesus, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, listen in my listening, walk in my walking. You want Jesus to be alive in you. He says to Louisa, you must become my skin so that I can reign on earth. You can possess everything that I possess, image and likeness, to do what God does. So when you enter into the divine will and you take a deep breath, you say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing. You feel like you're breathing, but Jesus says, I take you at your word and I am breathing in your breathing. This is the thing that what John Paul II said, get ready for the new and divine way of holiness. You know, he said this on the feast of the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. You were going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. This is a great, great gift of the divine will. So, repeated acts form the water, okay, so it's natural. The air, which is natural, to give continuous breathing to this life, this life of the divine will, all of heaven. You see what God is bringing us to? It's to begin to live heaven on earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? It's a new era that's begun. It's the most magnificent thing that you could ever experience in the church. The continuous breathing of this divine life, all of heaven, this divine heartbeat, to make it feel continuous heartbeats of my most holy divine will. We enter into this life with God, fused with God. And that's what Jesus teaches us, how to be fused with him. Fusing is two pieces of metal being welded together, unbreakable. That's what God is asking of us. Are you willing to be fused with God again? And again, no one possesses this totally, because God's got a plan, and his plan is so beautiful. It's so powerful that we want this, but we have to prove to Jesus that we want this. So he says this. He says, to make it feel the continuous heartbeat of my divine will, the food. Okay, so this book of heaven becomes the first bread. Now that's going to be sound interesting at first, because you say, what about the bread of the divine will? Jesus says there are three breads. The third bread is your wonder bread, your daily bread. The second bread is the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. Okay. The first bread is the bread of the divine will. Now, when I was explaining this to Cardinal Burke, you know, it was very interesting to see his expression, because the Eucharist is Jesus. How could anything be greater than Jesus? And it's not that God can be greater than God. What happens at that point is we receive Jesus at Holy Eucharist, at the Holy Mass. What happens at that point is we receiving Christ in a real but mystical way. And after the host dissolves, that real presence of in a mystical way is gone. You know, when a host falls on the particles fall on the ground, and you put them in to the little depository at the side of the Eucharist, the tabernacle, you wash your fingers in there, that water dilutes it, and the real presence of Jesus is gone. That's, the church teaches us this. The divine will is to enter into a perennial communion with God, a perennial communion with God that never ends, in a real way, not in a mystical way, a real mystical. So what Jesus is showing us is what he has planned is to bring us back where Adam was before the fall, to begin to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. To begin to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. How magnificent is this? And that's what happens with this great gift. So he says, this food, this bread, and he's going to teach us. He's going to teach us what this bread of the divine will is. Now, a lot of people say, well, I've read the divine will and, you know, I it's not for me. Well, it's not for everybody, Jesus says at this point. It's for everybody, but Jesus says it's for those who want it. I will give it to those who want it. So what God is asking of us is if you feel like you're attracted to this, if you feel like you're longing for something and you're not being fulfilled, and you say, let me try this gift of the divine will, you will never be unsatisfied. This is a continuous gift that God is giving to his people. And Jesus says this, just as the body cannot live without nourishment, without the air that makes it breathe continuously, without the heartbeat that gives motion to its whole life, nor is it enough to take food a few times or to breathe and palpitate at intervals to be able to form the human life, but always, always, this has to be continuous. Because only continuous acts have the virtue of forming this life. If you stop breathing, you're not going to last too long. If you stop eating, you're not going to last too long. Otherwise, the life is extinguished in the same way. And this is so great that God is showing us. The one who wants, do you want this? To form within herself the life of my holy divine will, my volition, has need of repeated acts. So Jesus is showing us that it's not just one time. When you get married, you don't say to your spouse at the altar, I love you, and that's it. No, it's a continuous I love you throughout your whole life. When you pray the Holy Rosary, it's not just one Hail Mary. It's to enter into this, enter into these words that of sacred scripture, you know, that the angel spoke, that Saint Elizabeth spoke. We enter into this life to begin to understand who this woman is and why Jesus says, woman, here is your son. Why did Jesus say this? You know, you enter into this abundant life. And this is why Jesus says, now the way to live in the divine will, if you want this, he says, let there be nothing lacking to this life, the air to make it breathe, or the food to nourish it, nor the heat to light to make the soul feel the life of heaven. You really begin to feel the life of heaven. Your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin starts to disappear. How can this happen? Jesus is speaking to you. Just think about it. Yesterday's gospel reading was, I think it was yesterday. You had, oh no, 2 days ago. John the Baptist, you know, was beheaded. What life did Saint John the Baptist have with Jesus? They were cousins, which meant they met each year, at least at around the Pentecost. I mean, Mary stayed with Elizabeth, who basically, you know, the high priest Zechariah's house. John the Baptist was supposed to be a priest. Why did Jesus become a priest? Basically, it's the high priest. It's to consecrate the priesthood. What with John the Baptist? What was so beautiful about this is, what did he do when he was a young child talking to Jesus? Can you imagine the conversation that John the Baptist had with Jesus? The conversation Elizabeth had with Our Lady when they were both maybe 7 years old, John and Jesus, 7 years old. Can you imagine what the Lord was explaining to the Blessed Mother, you know, when he was like 14, 15 years old in the house of Nazareth? This is what the Book of Heaven is all about. When you read when you read the Book of Heaven, Jesus said, there's no other book like this. Jesus says this, he says to Lisa, this is me. This is about me, the Lord God Almighty. He says that it's not about you, Louisa. You're just the one that writes it down. Why? For us, for that generation that will embrace this gift. Can you imagine how happy you would be sitting down with Jesus on the couch and listening to him talk to you? Can you imagine? This is what, in my understanding, the church, Jesus said to his apostles, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths and remind you of everything that I have said. The reason Christ came to redeem us was to get us to ready for the kingdom of the divine will, to live in the kingdom of the divine will, not in this fallen state. He redeemed us, Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ, in order for us to begin to live this abundant life. And he wants it to begin now. How do we know this? Because of what Jesus told Louisa. As you read the 36 volumes, everything changes for you. As you read the 36 volumes, nothing is the same. You're sitting down on the couch with Jesus, and he's talking to you. And he being the Word of God, as he speaks these words, it changes us. Can you imagine to be with John at 7 years old, Jesus at 7 years old, and the Son of God talking to the precursor of the second fiat, saying to John what he knew as Lord and Savior and Master and King, getting John ready to be the voice in the wilderness. Can you imagine? And now the same thing, God has got an office for us. God has got a place for us where he's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. Not after we die. He said to Louisa, I rose from the dead. Why? So that you can live in the resurrected life now, not after, not to wait until you die, but to live in this resurrected now. So when you look at the lives of the saints, they learned how to do the will of God. Now Jesus is teaching us how to live in his most holy divine will, with this great gift. So he says this, excuse me, I'm sorry. Therefore, now this is a command from Jesus. Do not be concerned with anything else. Even holy things, Jesus says to Louisa. I want holy things. Yes, yes, you do. I want good things. Yes, yes, you do. But Jesus says, what the priest says every day at Holy Mass when he puts the drop of water in the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Jesus said to St. Faustina, the final devotion I'm giving to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's why John Paul II gave us divine mercy in the year 2000. Our job is to say to Jesus, what Jesus says, I want you to have more. And we say, well, if you want this, I want this. And that's why he says to Louisa, do you want this gift? And again, this is volume 28. 27 volumes before this, he explains to Louisa how we get to this point. do not be concerned about with anything else, even holy things, good things, saintly things. He says, I want you to enter into a divine way. This is something that will astonish you. But always, always go forward in my most holy divine will. That might sound difficult at first. When I first heard that, and again, that was a number of years ago. I first heard it in 1976, basically. And when I heard that, I went, well, I want holy things. I want to be saintly. I want to be good. I want to be holy. And Jesus is saying, I want you to share in divinity. So there's a vast difference between with a saintly holiness and sharing in divinity. So that's what God is going to awaken in us. He's going to let us see that there is a new beginning that's coming. So volume 29, 5, 10, 19, 31. My daughter, the one, the soul who wants, again, it's your desire, wants to receive, must give. Giving disposes the creature to receive and God to give. So there's two kinds of people. There's givers and there's takers. The givers give and they're happy. You know, the people that I found that are the givers are the poor. They understand what it means to want. And so they give. And then there's the takers. The takers take. And the takers are never happy. They're always taking. Jesus says this. If you want this gift, you have to give. Now, we're not talking about money. It's your give of your time. Do this in remembrance of me. Think in the way of Christ. Surrender your human misery, your human will, so that you can live in God's holy divine will. It's always, I have to surrender this. I have to give this to God so that God can give. When you're empty, when a glass is full, you can't fill it anymore. And Jesus said that just the other day. When we read the calendar, Jesus said, those that are little, he says, I can take care of. Those that are great, he says, I can't take care of them. Why? They have everything. They're great. What Jesus is looking for is our recognizing our nothingness. Okay, God is everything. We are nothing. And when we stand before Almighty God, I said this to a priest once, a holy priest. I said, Father, when you die and you stand before God, well, what are you going to do? He says, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. He says, well, whatever color pants I'm wearing, they're going to be brown. And I went, how can you say that? And he goes, you're standing before the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And I went, holy, holy. It would be like you're back home, you know, but he was saying you're going to see who God is and we're going to see our nothingness. I mean, think about that. Think of the universe. The Hubble telescope looks at all that's out there. We're not even a pinprick in that vast universe. We're nothing. And we think we're pretty great. We're nothing. God can hold the universe in his hand. Imagine standing before God at that point. Now, what Jesus is saying to us is even though you are nothing, he says, when you recognize your nothingness, you can enter into my all. He says, be that drop of water dropped into the infinite ocean of love. That drop of water participates in all that love of God. But you have to live in your nothingness. And that's why Jesus says very, very clearly, if you want this gift, you're going to have to give. You give up your worry. You give up your fear. You give up your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin. You say, I don't want to live this like this anymore. And Jesus says, good, now prove it to me. So how do we prove it to him? Is we learn how to live this way through reading the book of heaven, listening to Jesus speak to us. Giving disposes, it's so important. The disposition is what God is looking for. I talked to a theologian in Rome and he says, so how many volumes are there? I said, there's 36 volumes. He says, who has time to read this? And I said, I do. I want this. And he goes, I have no time for that. To dispose yourself is to say to Jesus, I want this more than anything. I want this gift more than anything. And then Jesus says, If you are disposed to receive, you will be able to receive from God who gives. It's the breathing. You know, you breathe in the oxygen, you breathe out. You breathe in, it's the waves against the shore. It's how God works. It's the blood pumping into the heart, the blood pumping out of the heart. Many times, also your Jesus has this way. When I, God, want something for the creature, I give. And if I, God, want great sacrifices, I give much. So that in looking at the much I have given, the soul shall feel ashamed and shall not have the courage to deny me the sacrifice I, God, ask of that soul. See, it's to recognize God. It's to go to God. Now, my daughter, to give and to receive are first and indispensable acts that in clear notes indicate that we, triune God, love the soul, love the creature, and that the soul loves us. So again, to give and to receive. That's your prevenient act in the morning. Lord Jesus, every heartbeat, every thought, every word, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heartbeat, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. He says, but this is not enough. One must know how to receive by converting the good received into one's nature. Okay, so this good of the divine will, Jesus says, I want this to be converted into your nature. Okay? This is what God is asking. So if you're focused on other things, your glass is not completely full. You haven't participated in this as God wants. By eating it and masticating it thoroughly in such a way as to convert the gift into the soul's blood. This is a natural thing that God is going to do with us. It's not difficult. This book of heaven is for children. This book of heaven is written to Louisa, who had a first grade education. But it's Jesus that's speaking. And he knows how to touch your heart, your mind, your soul. And he's going to, as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice. This is God's purpose of giving our divine gifts, wanting to see the gift we gave converted into her nature. Because then are our divine gifts not in danger. And we, triune God, dispose ourselves to give greater gifts. And the soul, the creature, having converted it into her nature, places our gift in safety, becomes possessor of the divine will. This is something that's astonishing. And shall feel within herself the divine good, the divine font, the divine good received, converted into her nature. That's what Adam possessed. God is now bringing us back. It's time. Now, if you don't know about Our Lady of Revelation, in 1947, 73 years ago, Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. And it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of Lucifer. This is why everything's happening. Look at our society. You know, what have we been going through for the last 3 years? I mean, hate, anger. It's just everybody seems to be, those that want to kill children seem to be very, very angry. Why? The 100 years that Pope Leo XIII heard Lucifer say to Jesus that he wanted are over. The 100 years are over. The kingdom is coming. How do we know the kingdom is coming? Because Jesus said to Louisa, it's your job to bring this. And as we read, as a matter of fact, last Sunday, the 2nd of February, the last Sunday, what happened on that day 24 years ago is the books of Louisa that were in the secret archives of the Vatican were released. Jesus says, when these books come out, the face of the earth will be transformed. I remember the cardinal said to us, to the Archbishop of Castrani, and that was in 2015, we want these books translated into all languages. They understand. That's why the book that came out from the Vatican on Louisa says, what does it say? The son of my divine will, dot, 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 is Luisa Picaretta. I mean, who is the son, S-U-N, of the divine will? It's what Jesus breathed into Luisa, which Jesus wants to breathe into us. He wants us to participate in this. This is a glorious time to be alive. Don't worry about what's happening. The evil one's time is coming to an end, and he's going to create havoc. Let me clue you. He hates God so much that he wants to destroy us all. He wants to destroy the church. Gates of hell will not prevail against my church, Jesus promises. He wants to destroy our family, our friends, our neighbors. He wants to destroy our nations. He hates us. He's filled with hate. Jesus says he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. What God is asking of us is now to begin to live this abundant life. So he says this. Wanting to see the gift that we, triune God, gave converted into her nature, because then our gifts are not in danger, and we, triune God, dispose ourselves to give greater gifts, and the creature, having converted it into her nature, places our gift in safety, becomes possessor of the divine will, and shall feel within herself the good, the font, the good receiving converted into her nature. And since our gifts are bearers of peace, that's the thing that you're going to begin to live. You're going to begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. It's the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin disappear. Why? Jesus is speaking to you. That's why when he says, go to your room, close the door, and pray, sit down with Jesus and read. Listen to him. Speak to you. And since our gifts are bearers of peace, happiness, and invincible divine strength of celestial air, the soul shall feel within herself the nature of peace, the nature of happiness, the nature of divine strength that shall form in her the heir of heaven. That's how Luisa lived. That sentence right there is how Luisa lived. And Jesus is saying to us, I want you to enter into this gift. This is the reason why when I, God, give you the great gift of my word, think about that. He's saying this to you. He's saying it to Luisa, but he's saying it to each person who's reading. This is the reason when I, God, give to you the great gift of my word. He's speaking to you in the book of heaven. And then I remain silent. It is because I am waiting for you to nourish yourself and to masticate my word well in such a way as to see in you changed into your nature that which I, God, have told you. This word of God is speaking to you. And he says, my word does not come out until it fulfills everything that I, God, have planned. This is what he's doing with each and every one of us. The souls, this is the fun part. When you're with people living in the divine will, they're peaceful, joyful, and happy. And I've heard this from many, many priests that have gone to divine will prayer groups. And they go, there's something strange about these people. They're happy. Why are they happy? You're listening to Jesus, the word of God, speak to you every day. This is not, it's not from Luisa's imagination. Jesus dictated these words to Luisa, and Luisa wrote them down out of obedience. She didn't want to write anything. She says it over and over again to Jesus. I don't want to write this down. This is between you and me, Jesus. I don't want anybody to know. She was a hidden soul. Now today, somebody says to, Jesus told me, Our Lady told me, Jesus told me, Our Lady told me, Jesus told me, Our Lady. It's like Luisa didn't want anybody to know. And out of obedience, her spiritual advisor, a director, said basically to her, if you don't write this down, every word, you will go to hell. And she says, I don't want to go to hell. I will write down every word. And out of obedience, she wrote. She didn't want to be known. All she wanted to be is with Jesus. And this is what he says. This he says very, very clearly. He says, I am waiting for you to nourish yourself, to masticate my word, chew this up and devour it. This is the first bread. In such a way as to see in you, changed into your nature, that which I, God, have told you in the book of heaven. That's what happens to each and every person that reads the divine will. You become peaceful, joyful, and happy. and your family doesn't understand it, your neighbors don't understand it, your pastors don't understand it, they go, well, I'm not sure about this. And the thing about it is, if you read, you become peaceful, joyful, and happy. Why? Jesus is speaking to you. I mean, can you imagine? So he says, my daughter, the yeast of my divine fiat that has only the virtue of fermenting your acts, emptying them of the human will in order to convert them into the bread of my divine will is not enough. It takes a continuous acts, continuous sacrifices for a long time in such a way that my divine will with this fermenting virtue shall ferment all your acts so as to form much bread and to keep it prepared in store for whom? For us, the children of its kingdom. Jesus is saying to us that you have to be the yeast. Remember what he said about the yeast? He says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Why? It was poison. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. But Jesus says to Louisa, the most important thing to me is the yeast. Well, how can it be dangerous 2,000 years ago and not dangerous now? What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? He says, your father is the devil. If you read the Torah, if you listened to the Torah, you would know what Moses said about me. You would follow me. But he says, your yeast is poison. Don't follow the yeast of the Pharisees. Don't listen. Don't eat the yeast. But Jesus says what he's asking of us is to become the yeast for your family, for your friends, for your neighbors, for your coworkers, for the world. Your family doesn't want to read the Book of Heaven. Guarantee you. My family doesn't. God bless them. They're good Catholics, but they don't want it. Jesus says very clearly, this is for those that I am calling to become the yeast for the bread, for the flour. The divine will in the midst of creatures. The divine will in the midst of all those around you that are murmuring. He says, I hate murmuring. What's the murmuring? Well, they're doing this and they're doing that. And this is what's happening. That's what's happening. Jesus says, you're not peaceful. Stop your murmuring. He says this to Louisa, stop your murmuring. What God is asking of us is to enter this abundant life. So he says this, volume 30, 1, 7, 1932. My daughter, my divine will has surprising and difficult ways of acting, and it acts according to the dispositions of the soul. That disposition is what God is looking for. Look at the disposition of the Blessed Mother. When the angel said, you're going to be the mother of God, she goes, I want to please God. You know, I want to do this, but I don't know man. How can this happen? How is this going to happen? I want to do, her disposition was, then she said it, let your will be done. Fiat mihi, not my will, but your will. Let it be done to me as you desire. That's what God is looking for in us. What is our disposition? If God is offering us this gift of the divine will, what is your disposition? Is it, thank you, but no thank you, I'm pretty satisfied. God goes, okay. And then he says to the next, that's why, look at your family, look at your friends, look at your neighbors, look at your coworkers, look at your parishioners. Nobody wants this. Everybody's pretty satisfied. You know, everybody. Because they're great. I do this and I do that. No, it's to recognize your nothingness. God is everything. I am nothing. I want to enter into your life. Just think of the Hubble telescope and how minute, invisible we are compared to all that God has created. God is everything. He can hold the universe in the palm of his hand. We are nothing. So Jesus says, what is your disposition to this gift of gifts that I want to give to you? Many times it makes known what it wants, but it leaves it up to the disposition of the souls to do it or not to do it. I've had many, many people in my prayer group come and go because they go, I talked to my pastor. He said no. I talked to my relatives. They said no. No, nobody wants this. And they said, okay. And that's our test, whether we believe what Jesus is saying to Louisa or not. Louisa was called La Santa, Louisa La Santa. And Father Bucci said that she was known as the saint because the church is going to recognize Louisa as the saint of the church. He says the church is going to make that decision because As they read this, as they study this, as they put this into practice, everything changes for you. Everything changes. So the disposition of the creature to do it or not to do it, this is called wanted will. Other times, to the volition, it can be add the command that gives double graces so that the command may be executed. You know, that's what Jesus says, you must know. And this is what he does, that you must know book is so powerful. It's a command from Jesus Christ. And when you read it, he's not saying jump through hoops. He's saying, I want you to understand. This is what illumination of conscience is going to be like. This is what I want you to know, Jesus says. And this for all Christians. Not doing this means not even being a Christian. Another way is the operative. Okay, so you have the wanted will. Now you have the operated will, operative will. It descends into the act of the soul and operates as if the act of the creature were its own. God is doing this. Therefore, as its own act, it places in it its divine life, its divine sanctity, its divine operative virtue. But in order to come to this, the soul must be accustomed to the wanted and the commanded will that prepares the void in the human act in order to receive the operating act of the divine fiat. So Jesus is saying, if you don't have the three blessings, what are the three blessings? Blessed is the fruit of your womb, the Blessed Mother. Blessed are you among women. The Eucharist, blessed is the fruit of your womb, the food of Christ. And the third is, blessed are you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. The Eucharist is ignored. It's the greatest secret. Every Catholic church has the Blessed Sacrament there. And the churches are empty. John Paul II wanted Eucharistic adoration in every parish. He said this in the 80s. How many have the Eucharistic adoration? And then the Blessed Mother. She says, wear the scapular, pray the rosary, attend First Saturday Masses, you know, in reparation. Who does that? It's a secret. God wants us to enter into this abundant life. But we don't know this yet. It's a secret. It's the same thing with the divine will. The divine will is the greatest secret that God has given. So he says this, but it does not stop. The operating act, listen to this, calls for the fulfilled act. This is what we're going to enter into. And the fulfilled act is the holiest, the most powerful, the most beautiful act, the most refulgent with divine light that my most holy divine will can do, because that act, it's full, the fulfilled act, sorry. Everything it has done is enclosed in this act. Listen to that. In such a way that one can see flowering and enclosed in it, the heavens, the sun, the stars, the sea, the celestial beatitudes, everything and everyone in that act. That's why when you do your prevenient act in the morning, it's in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. You're participating in the prime act of God. And God wants to teach you this. God wants you to begin to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness. So he's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. How do we know this? It's because what Jesus has taught Louisa. And our job is to begin to live an abundant life. Our job is to begin to listen to Jesus, to participate in the peace, joy, and happiness. To enter into the life of Jesus and Mary, really, and the new Adam and the new Eve, and begin to live this abundant life. Our God has called us to be alive at this time for this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. It's a new beginning for mankind. And Jesus says, I'm looking for those that were willing to be the yeast to, in the midst of your family, in the midst of your neighbors, in the midst of your parishioners, to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness, to begin to give to the world the fulfillment of the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth. This dust, breathe in this dust on earth as it is in heaven. So we'll end there, and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.